Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
And amen. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh, saints. And I'd like us also to say shalom, shalom. It's a blessing to be sharing with you this morning, not just you here that are in the sanctuary of 3CLA, but also those who are tuning in online on iChurch in English and in Spanish. It is your faithful financial support that keeps iChurch active, and we thank you for it. If you'd like to send a love gift, because this ministry has been a blessing to you, there is a section at the top of your screen that you may give. Last but not least, we are a church of truth seekers. We will love the truth. We seek the truth. It is not about religion or tradition or denomination, but it is about the truth. And so we seek that. If you are also too a truth seeker and you want to go to know him at a deeper level, you can first start by getting to know him by his true Hebrew name, which is Yeshua. Hallelujah. This is a great season that we're in. Say that because we are coming upon a very holy observance within the next week, Shah, on Wednesday night. We're acknowledging the Passover, and in Hebrew it's Pesach. And then 3 days after that, we're recognizing the resurrection of our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. He rose up with the power in his hand. And he didn't keep the power, but he distributed it among us. Hallelujah. Amen. Who's walking in the power? Amen. And so this is a great time for us really to focus on who he is and what he's done in our lives. If you will turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter, with me. When we were born again, there was a tremendous work that took place in each and every one of us. I say it was incredible. It was miraculous because a lot of us were in different kinds of situations. We were in different state of minds. We were, you know, we were messed up. We were hopeless cases. We were struck down, distressed. Stressed out, shipwrecked, ratchet. But he did an incredible, miraculous work in each and every one of us. And I thank him for it. I thank him for it. I thank him for it. I thank him for what he did in my life. I thank him for what I've seen him do in your lives. And so it's a very personal thing that we're talking about right now. And the result of that work that he did in us was that we were transformed. Never to be the same again. That's the way it's set up. We're not supposed to be who we used to be and what we used to be, but we're brand new. And so what we've been talking about is that work that he created in us. He made us new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold what? All things have become new. So I've been pounding away at that work. What is that work that he did in us? What is that perfect work? What is that miraculous work that he's done in us? And it was beautiful, because when I was telling the Bible study Wednesday night, we're talking about faith. When we're talking about the work that Yahweh did, it's just like what he did. If somebody gave you a mansion in Malibu, am I pointing in the right direction? Is the water that way? Somewhat? Somebody said that way. All right. Y'all know where it is, right? And he gave you that house that's set up on a hill, and it's this overlooking creation. Gave it to you. Furnished and everything, right? Beautiful. And he just said, all you got to do is live in it and take care of it, maintain it. Wouldn't you count that as a blessing? What would you do with that mansion? Oh, my goodness. You take care of it, right? You living in the luxury of it. You know, all you got to do is what? Keep it clean. You don't have to worry about building it. It's already built. It's already furnished. You just take care of it. That is the work that he's done in us. He's given us a life that's a mansion. He's given us a life that's set up on a rock. He's given us a life that is luxurious. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Living in his luxury, under his wing, right? And so when we think about that work, he did several things. And I got to drive this home today because we're going to be talking about some crucial things. He redeemed us. That means he set us free, right? He made us free. So he refers to us as the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's who you are. You are the redeemed. And another work that he did in you is that he made you righteous. So he refers to you as the righteous. What is the righteous? You are the ones that have been cleaned up and given right standing. And I say, when I have the right standing, which is what I have, I'm outstanding. Right? I'm a standout. You're a standout. Right? Because he's given you that right standing, so you are considered the righteous. He did that. You can't make yourself righteous. Okay? You can't redeem yourself. What else did he do? He justified us. It means he certified us, sealed of the Holy Spirit. He put his stamp on us and said, they mine. He's mine. She's mine, right? So we are considered the justified. That's what we're referred to as. He also sanctified us. That means he set us apart for his use. So we are the sanctified. You can't sanctify yourself. You can't redeem yourself. You can't justify yourself. And you can't declare yourself the righteous. That's what he did in us. So that is the transformative work that he did. So what are we supposed to do? What is our job? Well, our job is to maintain that. And what we call that in Scripture is holiness. Holiness is what we do. That is the maintenance that we're supposed to do, right? And so when we look at Galatians, the fifth chapter, holiness is that set-apart lifestyle. How is the world going to know that you're justified? How is the world going to know that you're sanctified? How is the world going to know that you're redeemed? How is the world going to know that you're the righteous? By what you do. That is what sets you apart. That is what makes you outstanding. Right? And so whose job is that? Our job. He can't make you maintain it. He can only give it to you, transform you, and say, walk in it. He says, I've given you the power to what? Walk in it. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about holiness. We're talking about how do we maintain this lifestyle. And so many times people tell us it's impossible. Scripture says otherwise. And we're going to talk about that. If you look at the Galatians, the fifth chapter, we used to live according to the flesh. Before he transformed us, we lived according to the flesh. Right? Y'all know you lived according to the flesh. You were ruled by your flesh. Your flesh was in the driver's seat. There's a saying that the seasoned people used to say, don't let the devil ride, because if you let him ride, he's going to want to drive. And many of you, you let him take the steering wheel. He was driving your life, right? And so you were led by that. But when he transformed you, you were no longer a slave to that anymore. You were made free.
Any free folks out here? Any free folks in the house? You made free, right? So that's what he did. So therefore, we're supposed to walk in the freedom. We don't have to walk in the flesh anymore. So that means that whatever we were doing before, that was in the old life, former. So if you was a dope addict, you should now be a what? Former dope addict. If you were alcoholic, you should be a what? Former ex-alcoholic. If you were, amen. Hey, that's you. And I know your testimony. Ex. If you were a fornicator, you should be an ex-fornicator. Why? Because old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Any new people in the house? New folks in the house been transformed, right? So that's what we're talking about. So if you were a dope dealer, you should be an ex-dope dealer. There ain't no such thing as I'm going to keep selling dope until y'all will give me a job. That was former life. Tell your neighbor that was in the past. It's a new life. Because, listen, this is the key. If I'm going to live the old life, why did Yeshua die on the cross and go through all that? Why did I put him through all that if I'm just going to go back and pick up the old lifestyle? The old me. I don't want that no more. And so when we left off, we were talking about Galatians 5. Let's read that. 16th verse. Galatians 5, 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary to each other, y'all. One to another. So that you cannot do the things that you would, because your flesh want to do stuff. You don't want to be a slave to that, right? You want to walk in that freedom. And the New King James says, you would not do the things that you wish, because your flesh be wishing for stuff and wanting stuff. So we're going to talk about that. But the 18th verse says, but if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, so you ain't got to be a slave to that stuff anymore. And so then in the 19th verse, it goes to explain 17 things that we should not be doing that we used to do before, right? These are things that try to separate us from the life and the walk of the believer, okay? And so it says, now the works of the flesh are these. And it says, the works of the flesh are manifest. That means that they're evident, they're made known, they're obvious. Tell your neighbor, you know what these are. We know what this is. And so it goes on to say, there are these. Adultery. We know what that means. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness, which means lewdness. Idolatry. Right? Witchcraft, which means sorcery and some other stuff. Hatred. Variance, which means contentions. Emulations, which means jealousies. Wrath, which means outburst of hatred. Strife, selfish ambitions. Seditions, which means dissensions and division. Heresies, then we got envying, which means hateration. We got murders, drunkenness. Revelings means party all the time. And in 2014, turn up. And so, along with all those 17 things, right, which are the works of the flesh, they're obvious, right? It says, doesn't stop there. It says, and such like. That means, along with them 17 things, there's a plethora of things that are just like that. So that covers all the gray areas. Because we always try to find a way out, right? And so the list don't stop there. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not, say shall not inherit what? The kingdom. So there is a spirit in the world today that's telling believers that you can do anything you want to do because Yahweh is so kind and he's so merciful and he's so wonderful and he's so loving and so forgiving that you don't have to do the. That's a lie. And I have scripture after scripture that tells you that's not true. He loves you, yes. But he's expecting you to walk in the brand new walk that he's provided for you. He sacrificed his only begotten son that you didn't have to walk that way no more. So therefore, if he transformed you, he's expecting you to walk in that transformation. Well, I can't help myself. He's given you the power. We call that Holy Ghost power. We just sang about it. And y'all was up. And y'all was like, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. Well, that's the power for you to be able to tread over serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You need to walk in that power. You need to walk in that victory. You need to walk in that deliverance. It's available, right? So that's what we're talking about. So these things are set up to tamper with your holiness. Right? You want to do that walk, but you can't seem to help. You can't seem to stop turning up. You just can't seem to stop doing something, this stuff that is listed here. And so he's telling you, you can do this, right? And so then we talked about the list. So what we're doing, Yahweh has led us to go through all these things. Because a lot of times we don't understand. We say revelings and variance, and we act like we don't know what that is. Well, just like the law, ignorance of the law is no excuse. What does he tell you when you get pulled over? Oh, I didn't see that sign. Well, too bad. Here's your ticket. I didn't know. Now you know. Next time, do better. Right? I didn't see it was 45. Well, you were doing 85. So we can't use excuses anymore, saints. Time is winding up. So it says, we went over this. We started with adultery. We know what that is. We talked about fleshly adultery. We talked about adultery in the heart, just thinking about some stuff that you want to do to somebody else's husband or wife. You already started rolling it around in your head. There's spiritual adultery too. Because what happens is that we let stuff lord over our life. We put stuff above Yahweh. We put people above him. We put things above him. We put money above him. We put flesh above him. So therefore, that's a type of adultery. That's a type of idolatry, right? We talked about that. And it's interesting because there's a Christianese statement, and I say Christianese, because you know how people say stuff, it sounds churchy. I give an honor to God who is the head of my life. Now, the first person that said that, he probably is the head of their life. But some people say that, and they think just because they say it, he's the head of your life. But I dare say many people have said, I give an honor to God who's the head of my life, and he ain't the head of their life. Why do we say that, Pastor Tom? Because you're not demonstrating that he's the head of your life. Your actions aren't showing that he's the head of your life. What you should be saying, I give an honor to the flesh who is the head of my life. I give an honor to money who is the head of my life. But that's what your actions are saying that. I give an honor to my relationship, which is the head of my life. Right? Those are the things that we do. So we are defined by what we do. Tell your neighbors what you do. It's what you do, not what you say. What you do? Right? So then we went to the next one, which was fornication. And we found out that the Greek word for fornication was porneia. Well, that's interesting. Because there's a whole lot of stuff in the English language that starts with porn. And it means fornication. Pornography, pornographic, porn site, porno. And those are things that we indulge in. Well, that's a flesh feeding spirit, right? So we put that, we let that lord over our life. How do we know that it lords over our life? Because when we can't help ourselves, when we find that we always got to be doing that or we're seeking that or chasing after that, that means that that is lording over our life. What we should be chasing after is we need to be chasing after Yeshua. I see some of us, some of the sisters chasing after men. You know, the men is chasing after women. Why? Because it's in the flesh nature. But guess what? The flesh don't have to rule no more. And then you got people feeding into, you got married people feeding into the pornography, thinking that it's going to enhance the relationship. That's a lie. Why is that a lie? Because after so long, you're going to want the person that's on the TV screen. Right? I mean, how are you going to compare it to that? They got six packs? And other stuff? How can your mate compete with that? You bringing that spirit into your marriage. Talking about, oh, it's going to make it better. Uh-uh. It's going to destroy the relationship. Right? So these are things that we let in. And we got to reject that. Turn to 2 Corinthians. We got to be careful. And all these 17 things and the like are flesh-feeding spirits. They feed the flesh. We want to feed the spirit man, right? So we got, I love the fact that they're listed. It makes my job so much easier because it's plain and simple. It's in black and white. What we're supposed to be doing and what we're not supposed to be doing. So go 2 Corinthians 6 chapter. And from here, now we can roll. 2 Corinthians the 6th chapter, 16th verse. Got it? See, I got it. Okay, and what agreement has the temple of Yahweh with idols? You are the temple of the living God. As Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. So did y'all know that he's dwelling in you and walking in you? So that makes you the temple of the Holy Spirit. That makes you the temple of Yahweh. Did you know that? All right, so therefore, he's walking in us. He's dwelling in us. And he says, I will be their God, and they shall what? Be my people. 17th verse. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will what? Receive you. There's a lot of unclean things that we're touching. Just like, haven't you seen these movies about viruses, and you see how stuff is spread? Somebody can sneeze. Or somebody can touch. Did you know that even the shopping carts that y'all use got some nastiness on it? I mean, if I were to take a, and I've come from the scientific industry where you can swab it, and then you will take that to the laboratory, and you will find fecal matter on the shopping carts. That's how sin is. It's everywhere. But y'all have, you know, the stuff that we put on there, that the sanitizer, that's what y'all got. Y'all got instant sanitation. Where you can be clean of that. If you come in contact with that mess, y'all got the Holy Ghost. You got a resistor. That stuff don't have to come in contact with you. Yeah. right? And that's what we do with the Sabbath. What do we do? We put that stuff on. But see, this is a crazy thing. Some folks put the stuff on their hand and then go touch it. What you're supposed to do is wipe that thing down, wipe that handle down. And then you can touch it, right? But what I'm trying to say is that sin is everywhere. You're going to be inundated with it, but you got to what? Resist it. Don't touch it. So it says, touch not the unclean thing, and I will what? Receive you. 18th, and says, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith Yahweh Almighty. So let's go to Colossians. So that's plain and simple. We know. So therefore, if somebody's telling you you can do whatever you want, that's not scripture. Say that's not scripture. Because it says, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So that means, conversely, if I touch the unclean thing, he will what? Not receive me. So you have to understand what the scripture's saying. So if I go to, let's go to Colossians 3, third chapter, the fifth verse. Got to say I got it. All right. So it says, mortify. What does mortify mean? It means to put to death. Act like it's dead. Therefore, your members that are on the earth, and this is where we left off, your members that are on the earth, brothers, you have a member. And many of you think and act with your member. You make decisions, or you let your member make decisions. And this makes many decisions. Sisters, you have members. And what it says is that you got to act like these things are what? Mortify them. They're going to rise up because they're flesh, but you've got the power to say down flesh. Down flesh. Practice that. Down flesh. Practice that. And sisters, y'all don't act like you don't be having to down your flesh. Ain't that right, Phil? Y'all be wanting? And it says y'all be peeping stuff out. And it says this: act like they're dead. Your members were on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, all right? And he mentioned these things, these members, and the effect, so that we're supposed to resist, act like they're dead. And so I gave you the Message translation. Do we have that? Do we have that? And the Message translation is this. It's an easy read for you all, and it means this. Let's read it together. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it. Who knows about that? All right. Everybody should know about doing whatever you feel like. That's the stuff that we're supposed to what? Kill off. And grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. Y'all got a fancy. Your fancy is your flesh. So whatever attacks your fancy, we're used to following after that. And no, we're supposed to resist that. And that says that's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by Yahweh. So many of us are shaping and forming our life according to the flesh stuff, instead of shaping and forming our life according to what Yahweh wants for us, right? You're going to serve something. Either you're going to serve Yahweh or you're going to serve the enemy. There's no in between. So do this. Go to Ephesians. I love this one. Go to Ephesians, and we're going to go to the We're going to go to, well, let's do this. Fifth chapter, and let's go to the first verse. Got to say, I got it. Ephesians 5:1. Okay, so it says this. Be ye therefore what? In the translation of the Hebrew, it means imitators. Be ye therefore imitators or followers of Yahweh as what? Dear children, walk in love as Mashiach has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to Yahweh for a sweet smelling savor. So it's telling us about the beautiful things about our salvation. And then it goes to the third verse. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named. Don't even let that stuff be associated with your name. Don't let your name, we would always say, I don't want my name coming up in no mess. How many of you said that? Why don't you want your name coming up in no mess? Because you don't want to be associated with that. It's like, that ain't. Well, that's the same thing about your salvation. You don't want these things here listed to be associated with your name. You need to say, I don't want my name in any of that mess. So-and-so did so-and-so. I saw so-and-so at the so-and-so. I seen so-and-so buying a bottle of so-and-so. I seen so-and-so holding a joint with so-and-so. I saw so-and-so cruising on whatever street. Don't let your name be even associated. And what does it say right here? It says what? Let it not once named among you as becometh what? Now listen, if somebody lie on you, I saw Pastor Tom as so-and-so. Okay. And you can say, hey, they lied at me. But then every 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, you're hearing the same thing. What does that tell you? Something's going on. So if your name is named once, shame on them. But if your name is named twice and three and four and five times, shame on you. So people going to lie on you. Just make sure it ain't true. People going to say stuff about you. Make sure it's what? Not true. My name ain't up in that. That wasn't me. That was somebody else. Right? And let that be true. Right? And so it says, as becometh saints. What does that tell us? That tells us that there is a way of living that's becoming a what? Saint. There's a way of talking and conducting ourselves that is what? Becoming a what? Saint. I shouldn't hear about saints cussing each other out. Did y'all know the saints are cussing other folks, the cussing folks out? Hello? Hello, world? Yeah. It happens every day. Some of y'all are going to cuss somebody out today. It's the truth. But that is activity that is not what? Becoming a saint. So that means that we have a responsibility. All right. So let's go here. 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I love it. Because Yahweh's cleaning us up, saints. He really wants us to be inheritors of his nature and the blessings that he has for us. But this holiness is a thing that we got to work with. We got to understand how this thing works so we can avoid it. 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. First verse, if you got it, say, I got it. So, Apostle Paul, Shaul, he was dealing with a bunch of churches. The stuff that he's saying now, is about the church. He was trying to set the church straight because even in that day, just like it is today, folks was in mess. Folks was doing all kinds of stuff. Now, we know that the people in the world are doing stuff, but we're talking about the folks in the church. And so he had to go and set the church right. And so it's, if you got it, say I got it. So, first verse, it is reported commonly. Hello? It is reported commonly. Let me translate that for you. Word on the street is, it got back to me that this is going on. And when you say it was reported commonly, I keep hearing the same thing over and over about what y'all got going on, right? So that's in today's vernacular. And it says what? There is fornication among you. So some of y'all is doing stuff. That's what he said. That got back to me that y'all doing some stuff. And then it says, and such fornication as is not so much as name among the Gentiles. Let me translate for that view. You all doing some stuff that them unbelievers, them uncircumcised Philistines, them crazy undelivered folks is doing out there. And you're acting just like the Gentiles. You're putting yourself in the same mess and situations, but you're supposed to be a saint. You're supposed to be different than them. But word on the street is, that y'all is acting just like them. And the last time I visited y'all, I told you were supposed to be different. And then he goes on to give a particular instance, but there was all kinds of stuff going on. He says that one should have his father's wife. Oh! So it was a believer was messing with his daddy's wife? What kind of believe what kind of foolishness is going on in there? Well, you know what? Some of that same mess is going on today. You might not be messing with your daddy's wife, but you're messing with somebody or something. And it's been commonly reported. Word on the street. Right? That's what Shaul was saying. And that's the cool thing to me because he was just breaking it down. He was just being real. He was like, I heard about you. Yes, it got back to me what you indulging in. And it said, two, you didn't stop there. I heard that you messing with your daddy's wife. And then you're puffed up. You're proud about it. You ain't showing no remorse. You ain't showing no repentance. You just like, yeah, I got her. I did that. But that's how some of us do. We like, yeah, I did that. Brothers be saying, yeah, I ran through. Somebody say that? Are they going to beat me up if I say that? I touched that. Now, how about that? And it says, and have not rather mourned, meaning you ain't even sorry about it, and that he hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Kick him out, or he's not acting like one of us. Why should he what? Be one of us. If y'all doing all that mess, what you here for? And it says what? For verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. I'll let the scripture speak for itself. In the name of our Lord Elohim, Yeshua Mashiach, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of our Elohim Yeshua Mashiach, to deliver such a one unto Satan. Fifth verse. For the destruction of the flesh. Because listen, he out there. So what? If you want to be out there, listen, this is a choice, people. Did you know you had a choice? Tell your neighbor, you got a choice. You got a choice. You can be in the holy arms and protection and sanctuary of Yahweh, or you can go on out there. Ain't nobody making, tell your neighbor, ain't nobody making you do this. Okay? Y'all, hey, that's why we got doors here. You're free to what? Go ahead, go on out. But hopefully, you make it back in. Hallelujah. And so it says here, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Yeshua. Six, your glory is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven? Don't you know that the little stuff that y'all do? It's going to what? Leaven the whole lump? So therefore what? Purge out the old leaven. Y'all need to get the old stuff that you used to do out, that you may be a new lump. I like this. Any new lumps in the house? You need to thank them that you a new lump. A new lump. Right? Right? It's that we may be a new lump. And it says what? As you are unleavened, for even Mashiach, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened. So y'all, when we say leaven, anybody has some yeast, monkey bread, yeast roll, right? I say monkey bread, everybody say, yeah! Okay, that's leaven, because when you put yeast in there, it makes it what? Rise up, and it's all fluffy and got all that stuff in it. But when it's unleavened, it's a cracker. It don't have all of that puffed up stuff in it. And he wants us to be what? Unleavened. He don't want us to be filled with all that stuff. All that mess is not good for us, right? And so it says, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Nine, I wrote you in an epistle not to company with fornicators or those that are sexually immoral. Why he don't want us to keep company with fornicators? Yeah. I mean, you hanging out with folks that's getting it in, you're going to get it in too. It's only a matter of time. If you got the white sock and the red sock hanging out together, it's only going to be a matter of time before the white sock become pink. It's the truth. What happens when you have a load of white clothes and somehow that sock got in there? What happens to them white clothes? They turned. So if you're hanging out with fornicators, if you're hanging out with drug dealers, if you're hanging out with what? Who else? Adulterers and what? Smokers, drinkers, gangsters. What's going to happen? Because you're going to end up doing the same thing. You know, I praise Yahweh. We're going to be confronted with this, and that's why we have to navigate this thing. You know, in college, it was wild. I praise Yahweh for the teaching, but I found myself in situations. But the teaching, if you train up a child in the way he should go, and if it's old, he's not going to depart from. He might get lost a little bit. You know, we have a story about that. It was talking about the prodigal son. I mean, you know. So when I was in college, you know, everybody's, you know, you meet a lot of different people, a lot of different people. And listen, even in the workplace, we meet different people, right? And so this dude, one of my friends that I hung out with, he had this car, and it was a Buick Regal. and it was lowered, and it had these wheels on it that was like this. It was just, and he had spokes. Okay, and hydraulics. You used to hang out? Yeah, I mean, yeah. Right? And so he had, there was something going on with my car, so we were all riding together. So I wanted to go to the record store. They were doing something. I said, let me drive to the warehouse. So I used this car. Anybody, they don't have a warehouse no more. It was where you bought music, right? So I'm driving in this car, the lowered Buick Regal with the spokes and rims on it, right? And so I get out the car, and as I'm walking to the door, this dude walks up to me and he says, hey, Holmes, any Buddha tie in this MF? That's what he said to me. And I said, who Buddha? Where's the tie? I'm going to buy record. He looked at me like, Buddha tie. In this, he was like, y'all know what he said, in this ML. I was confused. I was like, what are you talking about? He said, Buddha tie. I said, you mean is it a group? I thought he was asking, is it in there? And he was like, your wheels. So I looked down at the wheels, and they had marijuana leaves on them in the middle. The hub had the leaf. And I was like, oh! But I still didn't know. I said, marijuana? He said, yeah. I said, nah, man, this is my buddy's car. You know, it's not my car. So I get back to them, and I was like, this dude asked me where the Buddha tie was in the MF. He's like, man, he was asking you, where do you get, you know, weed in this area? So they was just rolling and laughing at me. And to this day, if he see me, he was like, in the Buddha tie? But why was I exposed to that? Because I was driving his car. Right? So therefore, I was associated. So he thought that I was a drug dealer, or he thought that I knew where to get it from. Anybody? Somebody have asked you. Why have they asked you that? Sometimes you're in a location. Sometimes you're looking a little shady. You look like you know where the Buddha's high is. Well, that should not be named among us. I don't want to be considered a dope dealer. I don't want people thinking that I know where to get the, give me another one, the kush. But back then, it was undercover. Now, all you got to do is just get a medical card. The chronic. But why was it named among me? Because I was what? I was hanging out. I was right there with them. But see, we're supposed to make a difference on people's lives. People not supposed to make a difference on our life. We're supposed to be the influencers. We're supposed to show the power. We're supposed to demonstrate that. If you used to be a drug dealer, no more, people. You are changed. You've been what? Redeemed, transformed. I need to be the influencer. Just like I had these guys. So once I start learning that, it took me a minute to start navigating that. I had folks that always wanted to cuss. I always wanted to say the N-word. Yo, what's up, N? Yo, that N over there. Yeah, that N. I was like, man, why y'all always got to keep on saying that? What do you want us to call them? I thought about it. I said, when y'all around me, call them ninjas. N-I-N-J-A, and we all know what ninjas are, right? They're the ones that, oh. They're dressed in black, yes. And so they would laugh at me, but then they was like, okay, when you around Tom, we got to say, that ninja over there, that's what they would say. But that let me know that I was the what? Influencer. When I was around people that cuss out of town, I was like, man, y'all ain't got no better way to talk. What do you want us to say? Don't say that. So what happened? When I was around, and listen, I wasn't even preaching. But I was, when I hear that stuff, it just didn't what? So if y'all want to be around me, change the way you talk. So all of a sudden, boom, they get around them, they start, excuse me. Oh. And I was like, yeah, you excuse, don't let it happen again. But they saw that when they were around me, they knew that there was something what? Different. You can talk, but don't talk like that. But then what happened? They started watching what they were saying anywhere else they were going. And it would start to register. Some of them brothers got saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of them got saved. But we're supposed to be the influencers. And if someone is very comfortable in cussing around you and doing stuff around you, what does that mean? You need to what? Check yourself. Because the scripture is telling us what? There should be a difference between them and me. Tell yourself, I'm different. I'm different. Praise Yahweh, I'm different. I'm different. Doesn't mean I can't be around people, but it means that I gotta hold fast to my confession and hold fast to my profession. Bow your head. Father Yahweh, we used to live a certain way.